What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks so much for taking the time to hang out. Lots to get to today. We'll talk about some news and notes. Antonio Brown back in the NFL. You big name players not playing in week seven. We'll touch on some props and some picks that I like, as well as some DFS plays to get you set for week seven of the NFL. We are five episodes in, five already, and very little talk when it comes to the NHL. I've heard some people who have subscribed and screenshotted them subscribing and sending that over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. I continue to ask for your support in doing so. I am overwhelmed with the support and the feedback of this show. Still going strong here. The wings are starting to come out. The flow is flowing, I guess. It's the hockey hair and no hockey talk is what I heard from a viewer just the other day. The hockey talk will come soon. This is another heavy NFL show. We'll get to free agency in the NHL and drafts and get you set for the NHL season, which is probably, let's be honest, about 3 months away at best case scenario. Maybe January 1st. We still don't know yet, but this is going to be a heavy NFL show. Hey, listen, episode 5 of Mean Streets, I'll dedicate it to Nick Lidstrom. The football fans are, who the hell is Nick Lidstrom? Give your head a shake. You don't know Nick Lidstrom. One of the best to ever wear number 5. Certainly one of the best on the ice to ever wear number 5. The Hall of Famer from the Detroit Red Wings. If you play NHL Hut, maybe you were lucky enough to get the master icon Nick Lidstrom card. That long reach and heavy boomer from the point. How about Jason Kidd? Maybe we can dedicate it to Jason Kidd, also wore number 5, bounced around a bunch, went back to the Dallas Mavericks, wore number 2 when he was part of that 2011 NBA championship. Mark Cuban says his number will absolutely not be raised at the rafters in Dallas. How about Albert Pujols? Another number 5 who wore that number pretty well, didn't he? Maybe not so much with the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles or the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Or the Anaheim Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Nonetheless, a future Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer. You can't take too much stock into his days with the Angels. A phenomenal ball player. How about Joe DiMaggio? Hey, we can agree on Joe DiMaggio. Number 5, right? Dunks his donuts at Dinky Donuts, right? Can't get distracted. Whoop, whoop. He blocks out everything, and that's how he played the game of baseball. The Yankee Clipper just blocked out all of the noise, dunks his donuts at Dinky Donuts. Probably one of the best to wear number 5. And then you have Donovan McNabb, number 5 as well. I have the Terrell Owens biography book. Man, does he take some shots at Donovan McNabb in the final drive and not being able to call the play and throwing up and this and that. That was back in 2004, the Super Bowl loss by the Eagles against the New England Patriots. I am rocking the Super Bowl tee. Nick Foles did not wear 5, but I bet you he can get a drink before Donovan McNabb can get a drink. Is that unfair? It's probably true, though. Let's get into today's episode. Lots to get to, as I mentioned. We're going to talk some DFS, some picks, some props. And, you know, Antonio Brown has himself a brand new team. Unreal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers setting themselves up for a Super Bowl run, another one from Tom Brady. Before we get to some picks and some props and some news and notes and some DFS plays, I just wanted to, since we were talking about Donovan McNabb and the Eagles, just wanted to touch on the Thursday night game. The Philadelphia Eagles found a way to get it done. It wasn't pretty. Is any win that the NFC East pulls off pretty? I don't think so. The Eagles got by the 49ers a couple weeks ago. They were depleted. The Giants beat Washington at the end. Washington went for 2. That was an ugly game. The Cowboys got lucky in getting the onside kick and a W. And then the Eagles found a way at the very end to get by the Giants. I thought that the Giants kind of gave that game away at the very end. But Philadelphia did deserve the victory. They moved the ball better. They just struggled again inside the red zone. Doug Peterson, known for being creative and ballsy and calling fourth down plays. Nobody has went for more on fourth down than Doug Peterson since he entered the league in year 5 now coaching the Philadelphia Eagles. And you know, if I can sit at home and call what they're going to do on fourth down or inside the red zone or going for 2, that's a bad sign. I mean, there's a lot of people a lot smarter than me who can figure that out. I don't really know what to say about their red zone offense. It's not great. they're struggling. Carson Wentz, we didn't get the rushing prop. He did kneel down at the end. Luckily, that didn't matter. That would have been heartbreaking for him to kneel down and lose that yard and not get the prop. But as I tweeted earlier in the week, he continues to outperform his consensus ranking in the fantasy football industry. He was a top 10 quarterback heading in to week 7, and he had 29 fantasy points in that showing against the Giants. Ran one in again. He's got a career-high 5 rushing touchdowns. Still running for his life a little bit. The offensive line in shambles, and they lost Lane Johnson, and they also lost DeSean Jackson. So it's going to hammer home that point to continue to, you know, stash, if you can, Jalen Reagor and Dallas Goedert. I expect these guys to be back in the lineup, maybe not against the Cowboys next week, but maybe after the bye in week 10, as Zach Ertz is going to be sidelined for 4 to 6 weeks. And DeSean Jackson is going to be sidelined for 6 to 8 weeks. Probably, I'm going to go out and say that he probably played his last snap for the Philadelphia Eagles. Not to say that he can't get back, but I just feel like Philadelphia will move on from him. Maybe they make the playoffs with 5 wins. Heck, maybe they get a top 10 pick with 5 wins. But if they are in the playoffs, maybe we'll see DeSean Jackson back. But I'm just not so certain that we'll see him again. It's just, he just unfortunately has not been able to stay healthy. We didn't get one of the Boston Scott props. We had the over 3.5 catches. We got the catch at the end, the big catch, and he ended up with 46 receiving yards on 3 grabs. And he ended up with 46 rushing yards on 12 attempts. It wasn't completely his backfield, although he did dominate the touches. And it really wasn't a great fantasy performance despite getting that catch at the end. Yeah, it all happens. You can't take that away from him. But, you know, it was a great throw by Wentz and a great catch from Boston Scott as well. But I had him ranked as a top 20 RB, RB19, and it was looking like he wasn't going to finish that way without the catch. We did get it, as I said, but, you know, Corey Clement was on the field a little bit more than I thought, despite only having 3 touches. Jason Huntley was in there, ran the ball a couple times, but both were involved in some red zone packages. So it wasn't all Boston Scott, even though, again, coming away with 12 carries and, you know, 90 total yards is a win for somebody that you just picked up off the waiver wire. Miles Sanders, uncertain if he's going to return, so you may just get one more game out of Boston Scott. It could be a couple more, but I would expect Sanders to at least be ready to go when the Eagles return from their bye in week 10. So another takeaway that I had from that game was Travis Fulgham, another nice solid game. We got the over 4.5 catches from him. We called Philly to win and Giants to cover. That was nice to see. And also the under was the play, but I felt like the over still, I would bet it every time, and just the struggles inside the red zone, we didn't quite get there. So it wasn't a perfect day. We got some Scott and we got some Fulgham, and we picked Philly and the Giants on the spread, but we didn't get the over, and we didn't get the catch prop for Boston Scott, and we didn't get the rushing prop from Carson Wentz. So not all good. We will revisit the 9-4 record from last weekend and try to improve on that record for this weekend in just a few moments. But I just wanted to go over some news and notes and just kind of tell you my takeaway from what it all means. And we'll start with Antonio Brown. Looks like signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a 1-year deal. A lot just needs to be seen yet. Is he, you got to get a COVID test, and can he keep his head straight before he can officially get on the football field, still suspended by the NFL? I think this is bad for everybody not named Tom Brady. If Tom Brady is available on your waiver wire, I think you immediately go add him if you haven't already. Hopefully you didn't miss out. Now with just Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and geez, Gronk looked great last time we saw him. Maybe he just needed a year. You know, he obviously had the year off. Maybe he just needed a little bit more time to get going again. But I would flip a lot of these guys. Been talking about Mike Evans, selling high on him for a couple weeks. Write the trade target article every Wednesday. I believe I mentioned on this show that I would sell high and move on from him, that he was just on pace for career low numbers across the board. Besides touchdowns, sure, he could still score double-digit touchdowns, but you know, he wasn't getting a lot of volume with Chris Godwin sidelined. Now Godwin is back, and now you're going to add Antonio Brown to the mix, and Gronk, like I mentioned, and then, you know, eventually Leonard Fournette is probably going to come back, and both backs can catch out of the backfield and run the rock. And the schedule is pretty soft, so I expect Tom Brady to get his and have some success. And I look ahead at that schedule, and especially come playoff time. I mean, Tampa has the bye in week 13, which is brutal. You don't want the bye. You don't want your players sitting on a bye before fantasy football playoffs. This is new. We've never really seen this because there was no byes in the first few weeks of the season and with COVID and stuff. So, you know, you're not going to have Evans or Brown or Godwin. I would keep Godwin. I think his role stays the same in the slot, but you're not going to have AB and Mike Evans week 13. But the playoff schedule is really nice. Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit in the playoffs. It doesn't get any better than that in terms of just attacking teams through the year. Those are just primetime matchups. So I love Brown. I'm on the fence about Jones. I think if people are willing to give Ronald Jones up, I mean, you take him. He's got three straight games with 100 yards. He's touching the rock a ton. I think it's his backfield. I think Fournette is just, you know, he lost the job with the injury, and Jones has just looked good. And I look at maybe Tampa moving the ball pretty successfully, and then maybe Jones falling into a few red zone rushing opportunities, scoring a couple touchdowns, them being up in games in the second half, and then leaning on Ronald Jones to carry the rock. And so I like Ronald Jones. I think maybe, you know, touchdowns are so hard to predict, but I'm going to increase him every single week now with Brown in the lineup. And again, it is going to take a couple weeks, and who knows if Brown can keep his head. Like, we talked about Brown picking him up in episode 4. I talked about it. I talked about just selling high on him. He's a big name value. Who knows if he can keep his head straight and play before he's even eligible to play. And, you know, how involved in the offense is he going to be? And then one game we saw with Brady, he really was involved in the offense. I mean, he had the 8 targets, 4 catches, 56 yards and a touchdown. That was just the one game. Brady obviously has a lot of say. You know, Bruce Arians had said in March that it wasn't a good fit for this offense. And now he's a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I, you know, Brady clearly likes this guy, has a lot of say in what, you know, he wants this offense to look like. He's probably going to go his way a lot. So I would sell a lot of these guys, move on from them, keep Brady, keep Jones, keep Godwin. I think it's a downgrade for Mike Evans. It already was to begin with. So that's kind of my takeaway from everything. I think it's a fantastic football move. This is unbelievable to have all of those weapons that Brady has to work with. And this defense is just absolutely vicious, as I'll talk about in a little bit. So I think it's a great football move to get Antonio Brown. I think it's worth the risk. If Brown can just keep his head and just play football, then, you know, I don't know too many teams in the NFC that are going to be able to beat this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. Let's get over to some other news and notes. Michael Thomas, this is a big blow, suffered the hamstring injury throughout practice this week. He's already ruled out. Oh man, you can sense it in my voice. As a Thomas owner, I'm frustrated. I'm happy that I kept Tre'Quan Smith, even though I don't expect a whole lot from him. Emmanuel Sanders has been placed on COVID-19, on the COVID-19 list. So Tre'Quan Smith is wide receiver 1. If you don't count Alvin Kamara as wide receiver 1, there's been a couple games so far this season with Thomas sideline that Alvin Kamara has seen double-digit targets and catching the rock a ton. I expect him to continue to get a plenty of work through the passing game. So Tre'Quan Smith, I have him ranked as wide receiver 36. Again, I'm not excited about him. It could be a little Deontay Harris in there. I think Jared Cook, Kamara, and Latavius, I feel like the offense will run through them. I think Latavius Murray is now a flex option for you against Carolina. It's just a weak run defense, and you know, Latavius could run one in for you. He could maybe get 6 or 7 touches, 6 or 7 carries, maybe catch a couple passes. You know, you could do worse than Latavius Murray in your flex spot in what is a good spot this week against Carolina. DeAndre Hopkins is questionable Sunday Night Football. That game has been moved. Seattle and Arizona and Vegas and Tampa has been moved out of Sunday Night Football. I expect Hopkins to play. They get the bye next week. This is a big divisional game. I would expect him to battle through whatever it is he's dealing with, an ankle injury, I assume. And for Hopkins, you know, yeah, they could sit him this week and have the 2 weeks rest, but I just feel like they play him. If he doesn't play, then, you know, Chase Edmonds I could think of him in a full point PPR setting as a flex play. Obviously, Christian Kirk, a deep flyer, and Andy Isabella. I just think he plays. Robert Woods dealing with a groin injury, didn't practice on Friday, could still play on Monday. I would expect him to play, but you just need to have a backup plan just in case. Put Woods in your flex spot in case he doesn't play, and then you can play maybe Gerald Everett or Malcolm Brown. Just don't take the zero, right? Van Jefferson would get an uptick. I still like Josh Reynolds more, but these guys would get upticks. Tyler Higbee didn't practice, but he should play as well. I do expect Brown or Woods to play, rather. It is a tough matchup, but just have these guys on your radar as fallback options just in case. Again, you don't want to take the zero. Put Woods in the flex, and worst case, I guess, pick up Cam Akers or Van Jefferson is just like, you know, somebody who can give you a couple points in case Woods is inactive. Jamison Crowder looking like doubtful against the Buffalo Bills. He's eaten them up over the past couple of years. Certainly over the past 3 games against the Bills in the slot is where you attack the Bills. Who's going to play there now, right? There's just not a lot of options. I assume Breshad Perriman, he's going to get the uptick, but now he's going to see Tre'Davious White. I wouldn't start him, but he does need to be rostered maybe next week against the Chiefs. We're talking about Breshad Perriman as maybe a flex play for you or some DFS tournament option when you play multiple lineups. Chris Herndon, I don't know. This guy's fantasy community seems to love him. He's been nothing but a disappointment. Maybe bars, the bar set too high, expectations set too high with Chris Herndon. He did have six grabs in week one against the Bills. That was with Matt Milano in the lineup, and Milano is not going to play. That's a positive for Chris Herndon. I say he's not going to play. It looks like he's not going to play. He was limited all week. I'm not going to go there myself and play him. Maybe in DFS, if you want to get cute, you can try it out. It is positive, again, that he had the six grabs week one with Matt Milano in the lineup. Joe Mixon is ruled out. This one pains me as well, as I picked up Giovanni Bernard a couple weeks ago when Mixon popped up on the injury report on a Saturday, and then he played against the Jaguars and looked phenomenal, and I just cut my ties with Gio. This could be a two-week injury for Mixon, so if you have Gio, as you can see over my shoulder, I have him on the board, Gio hashtag FTN. You know, there's been a couple games without Mixon, four, in fact, since 2017, and Gio has averaged 13 rushing yards or 13 rushing attempts per game. 13 rushing yards is not good. 13 rushing attempts is decent. 6.5 targets per game and 19 fantasy points in a full point setting. I have Gio ranked right now as RB20. So obviously I play a lot of studs over him. Going down the list, Ronald Jones, Gurley, James Robinson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, David Johnson, David Montgomery, Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs, even in a tough spot, Justin Jackson. These are guys I would play, and then Boston Scott I had ranked ahead of him, but I didn't really know the news about Joe Mixon at the time. So I have him plugged right in there around RB19, RB20, in that range, is low in RB2. Look, if he's going to get the same type of usage that Mixon got, then, I mean, you can't ignore that, right? 20-plus touches. I don't know if he's going to get that kind of work, but I would expect him to have three or four catches and double-digit carries. Right, 15 touches. It's not a great matchup against the Browns. You kind of attack them through the air. It's not a defense you want to run on, and not a lot of teams have had success running against them. But Gio had a rushing touchdown last week. He's had some opportunities before to be successful. So I think it's going to be his backfield. I think he's going to touch the ball 15 times. And, you know, there's not a lot of running backs that you can save with touch the ball 15 times. Aaron Jones is a game time decision against the Houston Texans. We're dealing with a calf injury. It popped up throughout practice. You know, if he doesn't play, Jamal Williams would definitely be a low-end RB1, a high-end RB2. It's just the Texans have allowed 177 rushing yards per game. It's number one in all of football and over 5 yards per carry. So it's just a dream matchup. I think even with the injury, and I expect Jones to play, I think you kind of look at it the same way as Latavius and Kamara. You can play Latavius in a pinch as a flex guy, and then I think you can play Jamal Williams, same sort of deal, as a flex guy, as somebody who will just maybe touch the ball 10 times. Talk about Williams a little bit more. He's already shown that he can catch passes over the past couple of years as well. So you could do worse, again, from Latavius and Jamal Williams. Tevin Coleman, outside chance of returning week 8. Raheem Mostert already ruled out and placed on IR. Jeff Wilson, questionable. So this is going to be Jerick McKinnon's backfield, sprinkled in with a little Jamichael Hasty. And I like Hasty a little bit. This is, you know, Shanahan does a great job of utilizing all of his running backs. And the offensive line is strong. It's not an ideal matchup against the Patriots. But I think what we saw last week when Mostert left the game, it was Hasty getting all the carries. He out-touched McKinnon. He's a better between the tackle runner than McKinnon is. He showed some burst, and I am starting Jamichael Hasty in one league. That just goes to show how desperate I am at the running back position, but I don't view McKinnon as a top 15 running back like some people are ranking him. I think it's a lot closer between the two. I have McKinnon outside my top 24 and Hasty in the mid-30s. I think we'll see. Maybe he's the one to get the goal line touches, and McKinnon's the one to catch the balls out of the backfield. I think it's going to be pretty much a split, to be honest. You know, there's some reports that McKinnon's going to start the game. Who cares who starts the game? It doesn't matter. It's about the guy who looks better and who's having more success running the football, and I think we'll see, actually, that guy's going to be Hasty. Zach Martin is out with a concussion. That's bad news for Andy Dalton, an offensive line in Dallas. And that's great news for Washington. The defense is widely available. The Washington football team, I would pick them up and I'd rock them against the Cowboys. Sam Darnold is going to be back. It doesn't really matter. You're not playing him. And Austin Hooper is out. David Njoku and Harris Bryant have both been involved over the past couple weeks. Njoku has had more targets over the past couple weeks, but Bryant has played more snaps overall. But, you know, Njoku missed some time. I'm not interested in either of those guys. If you want to punt the position on DFS, I'd actually just do it with Herndon, even though I kind of ripped him. I would just go that way because there's just not a lot of bodies in with the Jets where, you know, there's several passing options for Baker Mayfield outside of the tight end position. But Austin Hooper had looked good. You're going to be without him for a couple weeks. So if you're desperate, if I had to choose, I would go Njoku. I play in a league with two tight ends. You got to start two. Don't ask me why. But Njoku was already picked up. I had to grab Harrison Bryant. That's how desperate I am. Again, luckily it's not my hasty league. I'm doing well in fantasy this year. I'm doing well. Devon Ozigbo has been activated off of the IR, so looks like he's going to make his debut with the Jags this week, his season debut. And, you know, listen, this is he got a lot of hype heading into the year, and James Robinson has struggled in two smash spots over the past couple weeks. Talked about selling high in episode 4 with him. Is somebody who is just maybe looks a little tired, and you know, with Ozigbo coming back, maybe he's going to cut in a little bit. I think you pick him up if you're in a pinch at the running back position. I wouldn't start him this week, but you're looking forward to weeks to come. Jacksonville's on a bye this next week, so it may be a couple weeks before we really start to see some play out of Ozigbo. But Chris Thompson's been placed on COVID-19, so there's an opportunity there for Ozigbo to at least touch the ball, and we'll get some looks out of him this week. All right, with all that said, let's get to the picks and the props. Let's start with the picks. I was 9-4 last weekend, so let's bring up this board for my man George again. We got George Z. Give him a follow on social media. 3 putts for par is where you can follow him on Twitter. Usually, must be nice, George. 3 putts for par, eh? I am like 3 putts for triple. I 3 putt for bogey several times, and that is one of the most frustrating things on the golf course. Should I be so lucky to have birdie putts? It's usually 3 putts for triple, let's be honest. But nonetheless, give a shout out to my guy, George. Give him a follow. He does some fantastic work for me, as you can see with the board. So 9-4 last week and a few plays I have this week. Tampa -4, Green Bay -3.5, the Bills -11.5. You can now get that. That's dropped down to -10.5. I love the parlay calculator, the free parlay calculator, and the prop shop that we have at ftnbets.com. You can get -10.5 using the FanDuel Sportsbook, -105. I jumped on them earlier. It was -13.5. I waited that out a bit. I actually thought it was going to rise. I got them at -11.5, which is plus money, +103, using, again, the parlay calculator. You get the best odds available. I just think the Bills win by 14 points. I mean, you can tease it down if you want, but you're obviously not going to get the better odds. I just don't know where the Jets are really going to get their offense from. Yeah, you can run on the Bills. Who's running? Frank Gore, P. Ryan? Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think that they'll score 14 points. So I think the Bills do their part, and the Jets were shut out last week. I know Darnold is back, but I just don't really think it matters. And Crowder looking doubtful is a big blow to their offense. He's their guy in the offense. So as you see there, I like the money lines with Green Bay -180. Tampa has gone from -180 to -200. And, you know, I just kind of glazed over Tampa -4. I have them at -2.5, but I wanted to give you the exact live odds as time of record. You know, there's been obviously some news here over the past couple of weeks with what's happened with the Raiders. I jumped on them before I heard all of this offensive line news, but it looks like most of them are going to be able to play. I mean, they'll have to pass one more test tomorrow, but Field Yates had said all 4 Raiders on the offensive line who were placed on reserve /COVID-19 due to the exposure of right tackle Trent Brown have been removed from the list, and they're all available to play in the game against the Bucs. So that's good news. It's bad news that none of them have practiced all week, and it's bad news that they're going up against the number one defense in football in the Tampa Bay Bucs, number one DVOA defense. You just saw what they were able to do last week against Aaron Rodgers. Pro Football Focus had Aaron Rodgers' pass grade the 4th worst of his career against the Bucs last year. So I just think this is bad news for everybody involved, and it's probably why the line has moved a bit because of the COVID news, but also just people hammering Tampa. I just think that they win this game. And, you know, like I said, I got them on the board at -180, but, you know, it's -200 now. But if you use our parlay calculator, you're going to be able to find the best odds possible. So I just jumped on it early, and that's why you need to follow FTN Bets. The FTN Alerts account on Twitter is you'll just get, you know, we jump on things early, and you'll be able to see that we jump on them early, and we give little notes and ftnbets.com under our picks. And, you know, for me, writing the note is I just thought it was going to climb a little bit, so I wanted to jump on the 2.5, and I feel good about them winning by a field goal, a lot better than winning by 5, even though I think that they probably win by 6 or 7. But that's just a reason to get involved at ftnbets.com. So bringing up the board again, you see there's a few totals that I like. Actually, before we get to the totals, I skipped over the Pittsburgh +100. That one has moved since putting it up as well. But again, using the parlay calculator, you get the best odds. So you can get them at +110 if you really like them. It's going to be a phenomenal matchup, Tennessee against Pittsburgh. I just lean with the Steelers overall because I think they have a better defense. I mean, they have a top 10 defense, number one against the run. Rush DVOA has them number one against the run and number 8 against the pass. And I think Derrick Henry's in a pretty bad spot here. You know, obviously he's a beast, and what Tennessee wants to do is run the football and run the play action, but Pittsburgh generates more pressure than anybody. They run a lot of blitzes, and you know, allowing 66 rushing yards per game at 3.3 yards per carry, that's number two behind Tampa Bay at 64 yards per game and 3.0 yards per attempt, the Bucs. So Josh Jacobs in a tough spot. Derrick Henry's in a tough spot. You play these guys, you have to play your studs. But I think overall, that's why I lean Pittsburgh over Tennessee, is just a better defense. And we're going to get Deontay Johnson, a healthy Deontay Johnson, back this week as well. And it's just, I just like Big Ben in this offense, and this defense is, I'd lean with the plus money. You're not going to get the Steelers plus money too often, so I will lean Pittsburgh. And now we move over to some of the totals that I have there on the board. Detroit, Atlanta, over 55. Both defenses are just pathetic secondaries as well. And I think both teams will have success throwing the football and running the football. I think it actually cruises over the number. Buffalo and New York, you know, from everything I just said about the Giants, makes sense why I would be on the under 46 here. I just don't think the Jets do their part, or Jets rather. I just don't think they do their part. That's what I said last week when I was on the under between Buffalo and, or between Miami and the Jets. It just, the Bills probably get to 30. Do the Jets get to 16? Unlikely. And then Chicago, LA, 45. Just two strong defenses that I like. I think both quarterbacks, I have a lot of questions about Nick Foles and Jared Goff, and I just don't know how much success they'll have throwing the football. So those are a few of the picks. You see the parlay there, Green Bay, Tampa, and the LA Chargers. You can get that at plus 214 using our parlay calculator. And I won't put this on the betting board, but I just wrote up the Kansas City and Denver preview for the Gazette. We have a little bit of a partnership with the Denver Gazette, and I read up the Broncos games. And, you know, Denver, they're getting some bodies back this week, and KJ Hamler and Melvin Gordon and Noah Fant, but it looks like it's going to be a snow game. We could see 2 to 5 inches of snow. And, you know, last year at Arrowhead, these two teams played in what was a snow game, and it was a 23-3 win for KC. Mahomes still had a ton of success, 27 for 34, 340 yards and two touchdowns. The Chiefs ran the ball 25 times. The offense wasn't that different in that blizzard game, but Drew Lock struggled. He threw for under 220 yards. He had a pick. He couldn't do a whole lot in that game, and he looked really, really bad last week against New England. They won the game against the Patriots. They had 6 field goals, but Lock turned the ball over twice, and you know, he didn't look all that good. So yeah, they're getting some bodies back on offense, but the fact that it's going to be snowy, I don't know how much success they'll be able to have. So that line has actually dropped from 9.5 to 7.5. I said last week, anytime you can get the Chiefs around a touchdown, I always jump on that. So I like KC to win. You can tease it down if you want, but I think they win by double-digit points. And then the total has gone from 46 to 44. I think that game is going to be under. I think it's going to be both teams running the football. And, you know, what I've noticed with KC this year when teams going up against the Chiefs is they're dropping back in coverage. They're expecting Mahomes to throw, and they'd rather have like Clyde Edwards-Helaire or now Lev Bell run the football as opposed to Mahomes throwing it. And KC is just taking what teams are giving them, and they're running the football. And you saw last week how successful they were running the football with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I just think both teams will run the football. And, you know, I would play all the players, all the studs, like Hill and Mahomes, obviously, and Kelce, Helaire. I'm not sold on Bell. You know, it depends on your situation. I think he maybe touched the ball 6-7 times. I think it's still Clyde Edwards-Helaire's backfield. And, you know, I play KCD. I think the advantage goes to the offense because, you know, the defenders don't know what they're going to do. If they make a quick juke, you know, they could slip. At least the offensive players have, you know, in their mind what they're going to do. And, you know, I think it benefits running backs. We've seen before running backs have huge, huge games in snow games. LeSean McCoy stands out, you know, against the Lions and 1 year back in the day at the Link. And it was a heavy, heavy snow game. I think there was like 6-8 inches of snow and nobody could tackle LeSean McCoy because nobody knew where he was going. Right. So that's kind of my takeaway from that game. You can add it to the list if you want, if you're looking for a few more plays. And you know, that's pretty much it. I got the parlay in there and the totals and against the spread and the money line in there as well. So let's move over to some props that I like. And, you know, again, it was a pretty decent showing last week, 4-2 in the props. We'll start with DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf over 68.5 receiving yards. Metcalf has at least 90 yards in all 5 games of the season and at least 80 yards in 7 of his last 8 games. He leads the NFL with 22.5 yards per reception. I think this is, again, I'm not going to give out too many locks, but this is my favorite one. This is why I'm leading with it. A high total game. We could see as many as 60 points in this game. And Metcalf just continues to get his, and I love the fact that he has the high A dot. and Russell Wilson takes some deep shots down the field with him, and there's no better accurate passer than Russell Wilson when it comes to deep balls. He's the best at doing it. So Metcalf, I think, is just going to continue to eat on it. Just going to continue to jump on his over on his prop when it's in around the 68, 65 range. Will Fuller is next, 69.5 receiving yards. I like the under here. Jair Alexander, I have a ton of respect for. You know, he shut out Ridley 1 week. I believe it was week four. Big donut for Ridley last week, one catch for 10 yards. I don't know if he's going to shadow Will Fuller in this matchup. Brandon Cooks is a threat, and he's been good over the past couple weeks as well. But Alexander will definitely be on Fuller. And, you know, he's Pro Football Focus's number one graded corner through 6 weeks. The third-year pro has really elevated his game, and he's looked phenomenal. So I'll take the under there. I understand it only takes one big play for Fuller, but I think, you know, Cooks and David Johnson out of the backfield and potentially Randall Cobb in a revenge game, I think that's how they're going to attack Green Bay. A lot of points are going to be scored. I know it's risky. I don't take a lot of unders. You won't see me come in here with a lot of unders, but, you know, Fuller under and maybe George Kittle under is another one that, you know, those two just stood out to me. You know, I look at what New England does. They're the number one team against tight ends. And, you know, there was a game earlier in the year where Darren Waller had, what did he have, like 12 catches or felt like 1,000 yards. And then the following week, he had like two grabs for 9 yards. Bill Belichick just does a great job of taking away the opposing team's best player. And he'll be focused on taking away George Kittle this week. And I just feel like that will be the game plan for Alexander to try to take away a little bit from what Fuller, because Fuller has been really good so far this season. I think three straight games with a touchdown. A big play guy as well. So I think Alexander's focus will be on Will Fuller and not Brandon Cooks. This is why you need to have the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. If you are subscribed, then you know how awesome that tool is indeed. Okay, let's bring up the next prop. We got Terry McLaurin over 78.5 receiving yards. You can get that at minus 111 on DraftKings Sportsbook. I did fail to mention all the where you can get the other ones, but using our prop shop again, is just phenomenal. You get the best odds possible, but this one's pretty good. 111 DK Sportsbook, 72.5. You know, that's what it opened up at. That was minus 180. And then, you know, you can get 82.5. You can get that at minus 110 FanDuel Sportsbook. But I like the 78.5 here, minus 111. I'm fine with that. Prop shop is absolutely free. You got to check it out. I get lost for days in that tool. And, you know, this is just a really good matchup. Again, going back to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, McLaurin has the eighth best matchup this week going up against Darrell Worley, who has given up an 83% catch rate so far. And that's just great news for McLaurin, who leads the NFL with 49% of his team's air yards and over 60% in the last 2 weeks since the quarterback change with Kyle Allen. And, you know, you can forget the last 2 weeks, extremely tough matchups, very, very tough matchups. But, you know, he's been pretty good so far this season, 125 yards against Arizona, 83 against Cleveland, 118 in a tough spot against Baltimore, and then last week against Bradbury, tough spot, 74 yards. So still cruise past, you know, these totals in most of his games so far this season. And, you know, Dallas has allowed the most points overall in the NFL and the fifth most points to wide receivers, thanks to Darrell Worley, who has just struggled so far this year. Keenan Allen over 5.5 receptions is the next one that I got. I like this spot against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He seems healthy. I know that he left week five with a back injury. He has the bye. He had some time to recoup. Everything you know, looks like a go. And for Keenan Allen, since week one, or week two rather, 31% target share, 34% of his team's air yards. Justin Herbert has really just looked his way. Overall, he's a top three percentage and target share, 30%, 32% of his team's air yards, which is number five in all of football among players with 50 targets. And Jacksonville has allowed 8.6 yards per passing attempt, which is number one in football. So I like the Chargers this week. I wasn't brave enough to come in and pick them by over 7.5. I just don't feel like the Chargers should ever be favored by more than a touchdown. Even Jeff Feinberg knows this. I know he loves himself some Chargers to cover the spread this week, but weird things happen with the Chargers, so I'm not going to come in here and tell you that they're going to win confidently by more than a touchdown, but in my own pool, I will be picking them. But I like Keenan Allen. It's just he's been a big body for Justin Herbert to throw his way, and you know the target share and the numbers are right there. The evidence is right there. Use our free air yards tool just to take a look at some of the – his ADOT is not as high as, you know, Mike Williams, his teammate, but just target share and usage, team air yards – he checks all the boxes for me, so I like the over 5.5. The other one here I'll get to is David Johnson. I could have brought him up when I brought up Fuller, but I did kind of allude to why I liked him and why I didn't like Fuller so much. So over 16.5 receiving yards. I also like the over 15.5 rushing attempts, but I'm just going to come in here with the receiving yards. He has had at least 16 carries in three straight games in Green Bay's defense, a bottom 10 rush DVOA defense, according to Football Outsiders, and they've allowed 5 yards per attempt. But my thing here is, you know, we could see a couple dump-offs. It's a high total game. You know, he only really needs one catch to get to that 17-yard mark, and I just feel like we'll probably see two or three targets, at least two or three targets and a couple catches. And again, Alexander's a guy that Deshaun Watson is not going to want to throw his way. And again, a high total, we could see some garbage time there from DJ and Deshaun Watson. So that's my thinking there. And then the final prop, this one isn't for everybody. You know, you could pick Diggs over 5.5 receptions against the Jets. I could have came in here with that one and had that one against my record. But I'm going to go with Jamal Williams over 24.5 rushing yards. As I mentioned earlier, Houston just allowing 177 rushing yards per game. So that's just a ton for a guy in Jones that even if he is active, is not 100% healthy. So I will just go ahead and lock in Jamal Williams as my sixth prop over 24.5 rushing yards. I think we get there. And if they are up in the game, they'll ease back from Jones and we'll see a little bit more of Jamal Williams in the second half. So those are the props. Those are the picks. Let's quickly run through a few DFS plays. A lot of my DFS plays can be found at ftndaily.com. I have a ton there. I'm hitting people high in the midsection and low at every position. We have my guy Kyle Murray, and he has just been phenomenal. And I mentioned in episode 4 his big week last week. He comes at you with ownership projections and his favorite low-key plays and stacks and value plays. And then, you know, just a ton of great stuff from everybody. Javi Prezello's must-haves, Pat Mayo's picks, you know, trying to avoid the chalk and thinking outside the box with some of his plays. And then Elliot Chris has, you know, cash game locks and plays under 10% using Kyle Murray's projections as well. And then, you know, we have the big article, which is my favorite, actually, from Kevin Adams, who just dissects every single game. So head on over to ftndaily.com, check out all that work. You can use the promo code MEANIE if you don't have a subscription. Check it out. I'm telling you, it pays for yourself with just these guys, and you'll have access to the chat and ask questions to the best DFS players in the industry, in my opinion. So moving on over to my plays, but you know, a few plays that I like, as you see over the shoulder, I like Kyler. I got a couple little hearts to Kyler, and he's the quarterback that I would spend the most on so far. This week, rather, you know, a great matchup, and I don't know how you can't get involved with this Seattle and Arizona game, and Russell Wilson is up to $8,000. So you save yourself a little bit of cash going with Kyler. And, you know, he has the better matchup. And he's number two in terms of DraftKings points and FanDuel points per game. He's tied with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, he runs around a bit. He leads the league in among quarterbacks in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. So there's a safe floor baked in. And then the ceiling is pretty high himself against the Seattle secondary. You know, they allowed a league-high 370 passing yards per game, and they're 29th in pass DVOA and the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks this year. And they've surrendered the most 40-yard plays, 6 of them, and they've surrendered the fourth most 20-yard plays, 22 of them. So it's a great spot for Kyler. You know, if you don't want to go to Kyler, Josh Allen at 7-7, it would be my fallback. So that's where I would go if you're looking to spend up. Matthew Stafford at 6-5 against the Falcons. Don't have to spend too much time here. If you watched last week, I'd love Kirk Cousins against the Falcons. They've coughed up 335 passing yards per game, the second most, a league-high 18 passing touchdowns, and a league-high 29 plays of at least 20 passing yards. And they've surrendered the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They rank 30th against the pass, and the total is 55. So not breaking any news. I like Matthew Stafford. I expect him to be pretty chalky. Kyler as well. Gardner Minshew may be the low-key quarterback that I like. I don't think that he'll come with a high ownership despite his $5,900 price tag. No, Minshew enters the week with 240 passing attempts, 3rd in the NFL, and 21 end zone throws, which is the most in the NFL. He's 6th in passing yards. He's 8th in passing touchdowns. He's 11th in rushing yards among quarterbacks on the main slate. Just has to throw the ball a ton because the defense sucks and they're not getting anything done on the ground with James Robinson. And he's thrown the ball 93 times over his last two games, 40 times in 5 straight contests. And the Jags have allowed 30 points per game, so they're going to have to throw to play catch-up. And this is a decent matchup. The Chargers have allowed the fourth most passing yards and the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Let's move over to the running back position. I like Alvin Kamara, obviously. 8 catches, probably what we're going to get at least, right? He's had that 3 of the 4 games with MT sidelined. He's very expensive. He's probably going to come in with about a 30% ownership in tournaments. And, you know, if you're playing double ups or, you know, smaller contests, most likely your opponent's going to have Alvin Kamara. I don't know how you fade him. I would have a lot of exposure to him, like 90%, 80%. You either go all the way in or you just completely fade him. I'm not going to fade him. I think you can come off of him maybe with Zeke. I don't think Zeke is a cash game play. 10 targets, 8 catches last week. There was a lot of dump offs, but they were playing from behind. This is a game that I think the Cowboys against Washington will be a little bit closer, but I think Zeke is an interesting tournament play as somebody I don't think a lot of people will be on him. I'd obviously rather Kamara. And I like Aaron Jones just because of the questionable tag. People don't know if he's going to play or how healthy he's going to be. I like that. I like that in tournaments. You don't play him in cash, but you could play him in tournaments just because people may shy away with that calf injury and the fact that they could potentially blow out the Texans. Which I don't think they will blow out the Texans, even though I did have them, you know, 3.5 and on the money line. I think, you know, he could get some garbage time, as I mentioned earlier, with the Texans coming back in this game, and Jones could sit in the fourth quarter. But I think if he sits in the fourth quarter, it's just because Green Bay had a ton of success and he gets his. So Houston, 177 rushing yards per game allowed. That's maybe the third time I've mentioned this on this show, and 9 runs of at least 20 yards and 4.5 yards per attempt. All those marks lead the NFL. So a fantastic matchup for Jones, who has 30 touchdowns, including the postseason since the start of last season. 30 touchdowns in 23 games. It's ridiculous. In the 6K tier range, I like two backs, Ronald Jones and Todd Gurley. I'll start with RJ. 3 straight 100-yard games, and just the touches have been there. 25, 20, and 26. 11 catches in his last 3 games. Vegas, dead last. Rusty VOA defense, actually 31st, but dead last in the main slate. Miami not playing this week. And then most points to running back. So I really like Ronald Jones. I'm surprised his price is so low. And then Gurley. So there's something to be said about fading a quarterback in a high total game. Like, a lot of people may want to go Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, and I can't blame them for that. But it also could be just a Todd Gurley game. He could be the one when they get inside the red zone that maybe just gets 3 touchdowns instead of Matt Ryan, you know, throwing to Julio or Calvin Ridley. And Matt Ryan could also throw to Todd Gurley as well. So, you know, after only 4 catches for 9 yards in his first 4 games with Atlanta, he has 7 grabs on 59 yards in his last 6 games. He ranks 2nd in the entire NFL with 25 red zone rushing attempts, and he has 7 goal line opportunities, which is top 10 in the NFL as well. So, you know, you look at the Lions, they rank inside the top 5 in rushing yards allowed and fantasy points to backs and yards per attempt. So it's a great spot. They rank 30th in rush DVOA. I know Gurley's been underwhelming on the ground, but, you know, the touchdowns have been there again this year, and 5 TDs in his last 6 games. I think he's a lock to find the end zone again this week. My value backs are Gio at 4.5. I do believe he'll be chalky, but I like Drake a little bit more at 4.8 if you can get there. People just don't seem to like Kenyon Drake. They're making excuses for him. His strong game against Dallas, and then we had the big run against the Cowboys. High total game, going to be involved, going to touch the ball 15 times. I like Drake at 4.8. And then my value play is Justin Jackson at 4.9. I've talked a lot about him on this show, but the last time we saw him, week 5, 71 rushing yards on 15 carries. Against a very tough Saints defense, he played 59% of the snaps and had 4.7 yards per attempt compared to 2.6 for Kelly. He took over in the fourth quarter and in overtime, 21 opportunities, had 5 catches, liked what I saw, great matchup. The Jags have given up the 5th most rushing yards, the 5th most fantasy points to backs, and they've surrendered the 6th most runs of at least 20 yards. So positive matchup, positive game script likely. Justin Jackson probably going to get some play. Over to wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. Don't have to spend a lot of time on this. I do think he's going to play. As I mentioned, Seattle has allowed a league-high 60 fantasy points to game to wide receivers. I know Hopkins only has 2 touchdowns, but he leads the NFL with 601 receiving yards. Obviously, you got the big play threat there. And Christian Kirk, who I do like, showed up last week. Big game, despite only having 2 touches. He's only $4,900. And he has a team-high 140 air yards over the last 2 weeks and 192 over the last 3 weeks. So I like just Arizona game stack with Kyler and Kirk and Hopkins in there as well. Adams is okay, obviously. can't say anything bad about Devontae Adams. Ridley, I think this could be a Ridley game as opposed to a Julio, but I like both of them. I think people will be on Julio after last week and Ridley disappointing a little bit. And maybe it's a Ridley game. That's kind of how I view that. Diggs is in a great spot. and Golladay as well. Terry McLaurin, don't have to spend any time on Terry McLaurin. I like him in that mid-range. Tre'Quan Smith at 4K, he's okay. I'm not overly excited about him, but it's a decent salary saver, not going to put a huge dent in your wallet. I like Mike Williams at 4.7, 17.4 yards per catch. That's top 10 in all of football. He's got the second highest average depth of target, 17.55. Really like that Justin Herbert took some shots of them downfield. I think that that was a start of a connection that we'll see between two of those guys. Marvin Jones, 4.4. What are you, nuts? You're going to play Marvin Jones? It's either Marvin Jones or Juju. And I think Deontay Johnson is an interesting play. Tennessee has allowed the third most fantasy points to wide receivers. He's done nothing in the past two games, leaving early with an injury. I wouldn't play him in cash. Absolutely not. But I would take a shot on him in tournaments because his price is depressed a bit. And the fact that I don't know if anyone's going to be on him. They're all going to Chase Claypool because of what he's done. But you just look at the first two games of the season where Johnson had 23 targets in his first two games. So I'm not expecting the game from Juju. But if I was to pick two guys who absolutely nobody wants a piece of between Juju and Marvin Jones, I would go Marvin Jones against the Falcons. The Falcons secondary, just they seem to bring out the best in opposing players. So we could see a Marv week. Maybe. I will have him in one of my lineups. And then AJ Green, 14.3 he's number 11 in air yards. That's not bad. And then one more guy, MBS. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 18.73 is number one in all of football, so taking some deep shots down the field with MVS. Bradley Roby, I expect to be on Adams, and then Robert Tonyan is not 100%, who's banged up, so interesting there. And then finally, the tight end position, I already talked about George Kittle not going to go there against Bill Belichick, and then Darren Waller against the Buccaneers not going to go there either. Travis Kelce is your safest play. I'll probably live in the $5,000 range, but Kelce has at least 8.5 fantasy points and 50 yards and 6 targets in every game. He has at least 5 grabs in every game, but that one game came against New England, Bill Belichick. The tight end I really like is TJ Hockenson. He's got 6 end zone targets, tied for the 4th most in the NFL, 11 red zone targets, the 2nd most among tight ends on this slate. And the Falcons have allowed the most fantasy points to tight ends. So I think he's in a really good spot. He's got a couple touchdowns from the 1 already this year, had a 2-point convo. They really look his way inside the red zone. I think this is a great matchup, as I mentioned. Fells at 4-1. It looks like Jordan Akins is going to be out again. You could go Jared Cook at 4-3. Chris Herndon is your punt play at tight end. I know, I ripped him earlier. But he's $3,000, guys. And he had 6 catches with Molino in the lineup in week 1. My DSTs, defenses, Buffalo, KC in that snow game, and Washington. I just can't keep the show under 45 minutes. I just always want to talk to you guys. So hopefully you're enjoying it. I love the feedback. I'm encouraged. Thank you so much. The flow, the wings, they are officially here. Maybe we'll get a haircut next week. Who knows? Maybe we'll just talk some hockey with it. It is what it is, guys. I appreciate all the support. Continue to subscribe over at FTN. Our YouTube page, send that screenshot over and just follow all the Twitter accounts, right? FTNDaily.com, FTNBets.com, FTNFantasy.com, FTNAlerts.com for the latest. I'm Chris Meaney. Thank you so much. Enjoy the football. Best of luck. Hit me up at Chris Meaney if you have any questions. Cheers.